Now, the first thing I want to discuss about lulav is the tzura of the lulav. What is the general lulav supposed to look like? What is the tzura, the form of a lulav that's kasher, a lulav that's mohder? So the first thing you have to know is the size of a lulav. The size of a lulav, there is no maximum size. A lulav could be very, very tall. There is no maximum shear. Adarabba, a tall lulav is mahudr, says the Magen Avraham. Not over here, but in Hilchas Chanukah, in Tafresh Ayin Beis, he's talking about long wax candles, and he says, and it's mahudr to have very long ones, just like it's mahudr to have a very long lulav. And so adarabba, a very long lulav is a nice thing, it's not a problem. I would recommend something very practical, which is that you don't get a lulav that's so big that it doesn't fit into those convenient bags that they have, because or else you run into a problem if it doesn't fit into the bag, so you don't really have protection for it in a way that the top could get bumped and niktam, which would be puzzle. So it should be a lulav that's a normal size and not this monstrous lulav that you won't be able to carry around in the bag and hang it somewhere or put it on a table while you're davening. But a long lulav, there is no problem of psul. Lulav could be as long as you want. Now, the minimum shear of lulav, this is something that's a very important halacha in a lulav. If a lulav is pachas mikashir, it's pasal, l'chol adeyes, so this you have to know. The minimum shear is 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim. A tefach, it's a shayla in the poiskim what it is, but in a mitzvah d'oraisa, we have to go with the most stringent shear, which is the shear of the Chazon Ish, that a tefach is 10 centimeters. And therefore, a lulav, the shear of lulav is dalet tefachim, is 40 centimeters, which in English, for those people who don't know what centimeters are, means 16 inches. A foot and 4 inches, 16 inches, that is the minimum shear of a lulav. A lulav that's shorter than that is pasul. It's not a hiddur, it's not a chumrah. It's pasul if a lulav is not 4 tefachim. Now, 4 tefachim is not all that big. Most lulavim are well bigger than 4 tefachim. However, you have to know what you're allowed to count in the shear of lulav. It does not go from the top to the bottom. This is very important. The Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis in Sukkah says, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Shedroi Shalulav Dalet Tefachim. The shear of lulav dalet tefachim is Shedroi Shalulav. The shedra is the spine, the backbone of the lulav. The lulav has a very hard part going up. Most of the lulav, that's the spine, the shedra of the lulav, and there are leaves going on the right side and the left side all the way up. And then towards the top, sometimes the top third of the lulav is only leaves. The shedra ends, and then you have these leaves going on the right and left side. That part does not count as the chelik of the shear. The dalet tefachim, the 40 centimeters, 16 inches that you need when you bring your measuring stick when you're buying a lulav, has to be shedrei shalulav dalet tefachim. Now, it's also not so simple that you could start from the bottom of the lulav, because there's a bir halacha that discusses that the bottom part of the lulav, where there's a shedra but there are no leaves surrounding it, the leaves sometimes start like a tefach up, a few inches up, you start the leaves going right and left, but on the bottom it's just a bare shedra where they cut the lulav off the tree. That, the bir halacha has a suffix whether you could count that as part of the shear. It could be that's not called the shame lulav if it doesn't have the leaves around it, and therefore, because it's a suffix, it's best if you could get a lulav that's dalet tefachim, 4 tefachim, the 16 inches from where the leaves start until the top of the shedra, not the top of the actual lulav. Okay, so that's the first din in the lulav. Better to get a taller one than a shorter one. It could be as tall as you want, but preferably it should fit into the bags. Shortest it could be is dalet tefachim, shedrei shalulav dalet tefachim, starting preferably from where the leaves come on the sides. For the evid, you could rely on the bottom of it, but it's best if it starts from the bottom, from where the leaves start going on the right and the left, until the shedra, the top of the shedra, not including the leaves, on the tippy top of the lulav. That's legabe the height of the lulav. Now, the second thing I want to say about the tzura of the lulav is the din that the lulav has to be straight. Yashar, it has to be a straight lulav. You find many times before Talmidei Chachamim start looking at the lulav and looking at all the pratim in the top of the lulav, they take the lulav, they hold it out as if you're playing pool, and you hold it out to make it look, whatever that is, you hold it out to make sure it's perfectly straight, that it shouldn't be crooked. The Braisa says, Akum, if a lulav is crooked, doime lamagol, similar to a sickle, the curvature of a sickle, then it's possible. Now, it's only if this curvature is away from the shedra. The shedra is on one side, it's called the back of the lulav. Really, when you're holding it straight up, shedra is facing you. If it's curved away from the shedra, or if it's curved to the sides, that's the psul of akum. If it's curved backwards towards the shedra, the Gemara says that's briyasei bekach, that's a normal thing. And therefore, even if it's a curved lulav, if the curvature is back towards the direction of the shedra, that is not a problem. You have nothing to worry about. The problem of akum, the problem of curvature, curving is when it's curved away from the lulav, that happens sometimes, or if it's to either side. That's what the Gemara says is possible. That's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. If it's curved slightly, you look at the lulav and it has like a little angle to it, it's not doima lemagol, it's not mamish like a sickle, so then that's not possible. However, they bring down that the siddur of Rav Sadia Goin, when he instructed his followers what to do when you're buying a lulav, so he said, the lulav should be straight, loima ukam klal, it shouldn't be curved at all. Should not be mu'ukam at all. So even though the psul of mu'ukam, the psul of being crooked is when it's doyme lamagel, akum doyme lamagel, but even if it's less of an angle, it's not mamish doyme lamagel, it's still not mu'udr. A person should try to get a lulav that's very straight. Usually it's not so difficult to find. So you make sure, in addition to the lulav being tall, that it fits the right shear. Also that the lulav is very straight. Yeah, yashar loy ma'ukam klal, it's better that it shouldn't be curved at all. But again, the psul is only if it's at the angle of a magal, which is mamish, a real shtarka curve that I don't think I've ever seen in my life in a lulav. And also, if it's lefanov or litzadim, but not if it's la'achrov, if it's back towards the shedra itself. The third and final thing, when we discuss the tzura of the lulav, in addition to the size of the lulav and the straightness of the lulav, is, as we said, on the side of the shed of the lulav are leaves, the alin they're called, ayin lamed yud nun, the alin, the leaves of the lulav are coming out on the right and the left. The din is that the alin should be hugging the lulav very tightly. The lulav, the leaves shouldn't be like spread out like on the side, they should be hugging the lulav very tightly. The Mishnah says, nifridu alav, if the leaves are spread out, kosher, it's kosher. But the Ramah says that even though it says kosher, but that's only b'diyev, it's best if the leaves are not prudois at all, that the leaves should be hugging the actual shedra of the lulav very tightly. And if that's the case, we have the tzura of the lulav set up for us, that it should be pretty tall, not shorter than 4 tfachim, it should be very straight, and the leaves going up on the side should be hugging the lulav tightly, they shouldn't be loose and hanging out on the sides. That's the main thing, lagabi the tzura of the lulav. Now, the second part of the shir, in addition to the tzura of the lulav, is where it gets a little more technical, and here's where people start scrutinizing when it comes to buying a lulav. And that is something called the tiyamis. We have to look at the top middle leaf called the tiyamis. What is the tiyamis? It's one of the most used terminologies in Ilchas Lulav, the tiyamis. The tiyamis, the Rishayim say, is the ole ha'amtsai, the middle leaf. Usually the middle leaf is the tallest leaf on the lulav. If you look at the top of the lulav, the leaf that's sticking up the tallest, that's usually tiyamis. But it's important to note that that's not the exact definition of the tiyamis. Some Rishayim call it the Allah Elyon HaEmtzai, because it's usually the Elyon, it's usually the tallest. But all the Rishayim say it's the Allah HaEmtzai, it's the middle one. And basically, there are certain dinim that the tiyamis has to follow. We're going to learn them now. And the tiyamis is naturally the most vulnerable of all the leaves, because it's sticking up at the top usually. But as we said, the definition of the tiyamis is the Allah ha'amtsai, the middle one, which means like this. As you're going up, you could follow. When you're starting from the bottom of the shedra of the lulav, you follow on the right is one, on the left is one. You could find usually a match, that it's going up pretty much on the same level. Sometimes it's not exactly the same level, but it's pretty much the same level. The right and the left going up, 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 until the leaves stop. Until the shedra stops, and then the leaves keep going to the right and left, and then at the end, which is usually on top of the shedra, at the end it'll end in one middle one. That's called, it'll end usually in two. That's where there's two, considered two tiyamis in. Or it'll end in three. When there's three, so the middle one of those three is called the tiyamis. Most of them end in three, which is in halacha called that it ends in one, because the middle one of that three is called the tiyamis. As I said, usually that's the tallest one. Sometimes the best lulav in the shuk is when it's not the tallest one, because then it's protected by the one next to it. The ikar one is the tiyamis, the emtsai. I was once in a store where people were buying lulavim, and there was a whole machlekes between a few talmid chacham there, which one was the tiyamis. Forgetting about the tiyamis looked great, but the question was, one of them looked good and the other one didn't. The question was, which one's tiyamis? One of the Talmidei Chachamim said that it's the middle one, and the other one said, no, it's the tallest one. The tiyamis is the tallest one. But the truth is, in Rishayim it's mefurish that it's the Allah HaEmtsai, the middle one, and therefore you shouldn't start looking at a lulav from the top of it. You should start from like the middle, towards the bottom, as you see all the pairs, and then you'll see which one is the emtsai, and then when you get to the emtsai, which is usually the tallest one, if not that, the second to tallest one, then you start looking at the tiyamis for the following halachas. Okay, the first halacha that we have, lagabi tiyamis, is niktam roishai pasal. Then number one about the tiyomis. If the top of the tiyomis is nikdam, is cut off, so then it's puzzle. The lulav should come at the top to a nice pointy, tippy top of the lulav. It shouldn't be, if it looks like it's flattened, that it might have gotten nicked off during the traveling or whatever the lulav went through, so then that's puzzle. Now, you need a mumcha sometimes to see this. Some lulavim look very pointy at top. You say, oh, it's beautiful. It's not a nikdam. Some of them look extremely flat, and you say, hey, maybe this is a nikdam. Maybe this is the way the lulav was. This is where a lot of people show lulavim to a rav who doesn't just know halachas, but he's seen thousands of lulavim, and he can tell what's nikdam. There's a magnifying glass that I have here that magnifies the something that you look at 15 times. Usually looking at that straight down onto the top of the lulav, you're able to see if it's a natural point or if it's nikdam. There are ways that mumchim see it. Lamaisa, if you have a suffix niktam, you should definitely ask a shayla, because again, this is not an issue of a hidur, this is an issue of a psul. Now, it's very important to note that the psul of niktam, Rashi says in Sukkah, is because it's not hadur. It's not beautiful in the eyes of the Torah if the lulav is niktam. Anything that has a psul of hadar, we mentioned last time from the Mabit, that if you need histaklus already, it's not a problem. It has to be that you see the problem right away. Looking at the lulav, you see, oh my gosh, it looks very flat instead of very pointy. That's a psul of niktam. But if it looks very pointy, but then as you scrutinize it with the magnifying glass, it looks, you know, it looks that it might be niktam. But it wasn't a noticeable shinui that you see something different about it when you didn't look at it closely, or you didn't even with your bare eyes, if you need to look at it closely already, then it's not a chasaron of hadar. Therefore, it's important to note that the psul is because of hadar, because it has this nafkamina la halacha, that if you need his stakas already, that's not going to be possible. So the magnifying glass, if you don't notice anything fishy without a magnifying glass, you never have to look with the magnifying glass. But even without the magnifying glass, sometimes you see, hey, it looks a little flat. The magnifying glass will be able to show you sometimes it's a little bumpy, and then you could be sure that it's nikdam. But enechanami, if it looks perfect without it, you don't even have a suffix about it, and the only time you would even think about a problem is after you see with the magnifying glass, that wouldn't be a problem of nikdam, because it's not considered a chasaron of hadar. Okay, so that is din number one, lagabe the tiyamis, that it can't be niktam roisha. The second din, really we'll do two of them together now, is the dinim called nechleka hatiyamis, which means the tiyamis is split, and there's another terminology, which is similar, it's called nistak kehimnik. Nistak means also that it's split, that it's cracked, kehimnik like a himnik. We'll explain what this is. These are two terminologies. One of them means nechleka hatiyamis, and the other one is called nistak kehimnik. Now what does this mean? All the leaves of a lulav, it's not a single leaf. Every leaf is really combined of two parts. When you make those bindalach, those things to wrap it around, what do? You take the leaf of a lulav and you put your fingers there, you could rip it down and make it into two. Every leaf of a lulav has a front and a back, you could divide it into two. The way it's supposed to be, you're hardly supposed to notice that it's a front and a back, because they're supposed to be perfectly together. They grow together. The ola ha'elyon, the middle one, the tiyomis, those two things have to be together. If the front and the back of that leaf are nechlak, and you see like a V going up on the top of the lulav, sometimes if you look at it, you see it doesn't go up straight, it goes like a separation, like a V. So then we get involved in the shayla, is this nechlak ha'tiyomis or nistak kehimnik, both of which are puzzle. So the din is like this. The din of nechlaka atiyomis, if the tiyomis is split, how much does it have to be split to be pasul? So the Ramah says it's only pasul if it's split all the way down till the shedra. As we said, the shedra ends a lot earlier. It could be like a foot of lulav still, or definitely a lot of inches of lulav after the shedra is finished. Only if that middle leaf is split all the way down till the shedra, that's the psul of nechlaka atiyomis, which again is very unusual. Usually the splits are like a few centimeters of fat. It's not split all the way to the tiyomis. It's not split all the way to the shedra. The Mishnah Berurah brings from the Vilna Gaon that if it's split roiv of the way to the shedra, that's also a problem. Rubai kekuloi, it's a problem. If the ala ha'elyon is split, even rubai, Mishnah Berurah says, we have to be machmir like that. And therefore, if it's split roiv of the way down till the shedra, that's going to be a problem ayikar adin. Now, here comes the din, nistak kehimnik. Nistak kehimnik means also that it's split at the angle of a himnik. Now, what is a himnik? A himnik, the Rishonim all draw a picture of a V like this. This is a himnik. What does the word himnik mean? So you have in Bava Metzia, Gemara Sakini Vehimnik, it seems from the Rishonim that it was a type of fork that they used to use, a two-pronged fork. Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Chavei, says that the Greeks used to eat meat like this. They used to, instead of touching the meat with their hands, they did something very strange. They would stick a hymnic into the meat and then cut it, and like this they would eat the meat without touching the meat with their hands. That was something that the strange Greeks used to do. This is something we all do with a fork. We have four prongs, so they had two prongs, but in order to be effective, it wasn't mamish together. There was a kli called a hymnic that was used like that. The Rishonim used a Hebrew word called a mechuga, and a mechuga in Psukim in Yeshaya means a compass. So a compass also they used to have is one string thing, and then another line going a little separate from it, and they used to draw circles with it. So al kapanim, that's the picture of a V that they say about nistak himnik. If it's nistak to the extent where it's a himnik, it's not just a little bit, it's to the angle of a himnik, then it's possible even if it doesn't go all the way down to the shedra, or to right of the shedra. Even if it's just 1 centimeter, or 1 inch, even less than that, even a mashu. But if the angle is not just a little split, it's split like a hymnic, which again, it's unclear exactly how much is a hymnic. But if it's split to the extent of a hymnic, so then it's going to be possible, even if it's not very far down. Now, exactly what is a hymnic, it's unclear. The Rishonim say, pasuach harbe, Lashinas like that make it sound that it's very very far apart. Again, as we said before, it's a compass. It's used to make circles, not dots. So we're talking about something that's a little separated. Some people were very machmir. Some poskim said if it's nistak like this, so a very little bit where you could see the light of day in between it, that might be a hymnic, because we don't know what the clear hymnic used to look like. But it doesn't sound like that in the Rishonim. It sounds like if it's pasuach harbe, pasuach ma'oid, that's something that's kehymnic, that you see like a real V that it's separated. If it's not, if it's just a mashu separated, that's probably not the angle of a hymnic, and many who love him are like that, and that's not a problem of a hymnic if it's a mashu a little bit. However, this is something very important. Even though we said the psul of nechlekat yoimes is only if it goes down to the shedra, or the going says right of the way to the shedra, the Rama says mitzvah min amuvchar, it's best if you get a lulav shelo yehi nechlak klal. It shouldn't even be divided at all. It should go up mamish perfectly, the two things connected, and it shouldn't be divided. So this throws everybody off. What does that mean? We just said that the psul of nechakat yemis is only if it goes down to the shedra, or maybe right of the way. But a mashu is kosher, unless it's kehimnik, unless it's the angle of the himnik. Now the Rama is telling us it's best to get a lulav where it's not even split bechlal. It's not even nechlekat yoimis at all. It's perfectly straight. So then what's this whole din of nistak kehimnik? That if it's like a hymnic, to the angle of a hymnic, it's kosher, it's pasul, and less than that, it's kosher. The Rama is telling us that you're supposed to get a lulav that it's not even nechlek a drop, a tiny drop. So here's the important point. You have to know what's a psul and what's a mitzvah min amufchar. All the Rama is saying is, mitzvah min amufchar, it's best, lechatchila, to get a lulav that the top leaf, the Allah Elyon HaMtzai, is not split bechlal. That's true, but that's mitzvah min amufchar. But when does it become possible that you can't make a bracha on it? It becomes possible only if it's nechlak, roiv of the way down till the shedra, to where the shedra ends, or if it's nechlak even a mashu down, but at the angle of a hymnik, which is pasuach harbe. Therefore, if you have to see a lulav, and it's very hard to find lulavim, and you find a good lulav, and it seems to be kosher, it's the right shear, and it looks beautiful. However, it's a drop, a split on the top, so you should know that it's not the mitzvah min amufchar of the Rama, but if you don't have that much to choose from, that is still kosher, because it's not nechlak all the way down to the shedra, or even roiv of the way down to the shedra, and also that split is not kehimnik, it's not pasuach harbe, it's just a little bit, so that would be kosher. You don't have the mitzvah min amufchar of the Rama, but that lulav is not pasul. In addition to that nafkamina, that one is only mitzvah min amufchar and the other is pasul, there's a very practical nafkamina as well. The main problem why the Rama says mitzvah min amufchar, that it shouldn't be split at all, it's not because being split a drop is a problem. If it's nistak kehemnik, it's pasul. If it's less than that, it's not a psul. The problem is, the Rama says from Rishonim, the Rama doesn't speak it out, but it's from Rishonim, that when you shake the lulav on sukkahs, so as you shake it more and more, that little split is probably going to extend further, and it might result in a real psul of nechlekat yoimis. It could go all the way down to the shedra. What started off a little innocent crack might end up mamish pasling your lulav. And therefore, there's a chshash in the metzias. Not that it's a psul at that point, but there's a chshash in the metzias that it's going to extend, and that's going to be a problem. Because of that, poskim say that if you have someone who knows what they're doing, you could put a little crazy glue in between the two things and put it together, and nobody will know the difference. And the point is not to trick the guy next to you to say that you got a perfect lulav. The point is to avoid this simple technical chash of extending. So it's not going to extend. And here's where it's very negiah to know what's a psul and what's this mitzias tikach chash that it's going to extend. Because if you have a psul, if it's nistak kehinit, the poiskim say it, Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlita, they both said clearly that if it's nistak kehimnik and it's puzzle, you can't be machshir a lulav by putting glue in it and saving it together and sticking it together. Once it's puzzle, chibur ani deyadam ein chibur, you can't make it kosher. However, if it's not kehimnik, so then it's kosher. The only problem is a chash that throughout yontif it'll extend. So first of all, it's only a mitzvah and a mufkar. That's one point. And the second point is that then the glue trick is going to work. Just make sure you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, you can make it a niktam and get hurt also. So I wouldn't recommend this in your own homes. But if you know someone who can stick in the glue perfectly on top and make it perfect, it'll be together and avoid that chash of extending. If it wasn't kehimnik in the first place and it wasn't all the way down to roiva the way to the shedra, then you could use the glue and then you've avoided all the problems of nechelka atiyomis and nistak kehimnik. Okay, so those are the two dinim so far, lagabi the tiyomis. First of all, that it shouldn't be niktam, it shouldn't be cut off. And secondly, that it shouldn't be nechelka tiyomis or nistak to the extent where it's called kehimnik. Okay, the third thing that we're looking for on top, when you're looking at the tiyomis, is the din called yavish. Lulav ha-gazel v'ha-yavish pasal. First din in the parak after lulav ha-gazel is lulav ha-yavish, a lulav that's dry. To find a real dry lulav, you probably won't find it unless you're using last year's lulav. Most of the lulavim were cut in the last month. They're not going to be really yavish. The main problem that comes up la-alacha is sometimes at the very top of the tiyomis, the lulav is a little bit dried out. It doesn't have its perfect green color. It gets a little white when it comes to the tippy top of the lulav. Now, but pashtus, the psul of yavish has nothing to do with the tippy top. The poskim say from the Rishonim that it's with the roiv of the alim, most of the leaves of the lulav are yavish, or if the shedra is yavish, it's just one sheet of lechumra to be machmir that the tiyomis, if the tiyomis is yavish, it's a psul. And on top of that, the goin has a chiddush that even if it's not the whole tiyomis, it's just the tippy top of it, so if it's yavish, that's going to be a problem. So because of the chumrah of this Vilna Goin, that yavish on the very top of the lulav is going to passel, we try to make sure that the lulav is green all the way to the top, and it doesn't get a pale white color, which will be a sign of yavishus. On the tippy top. If it's a little bit white, you know, it's the stark green is not there, that's not a problem. It has to be mamish, really lovan. It has to be really white in order to think that that is became yavish. And again, most of the lulavim that you're going to be looking at, which were cut only a month ago, if that, so then they're not going to be a problem of yavish. But if it's very white on top, you have to be careful that maybe it was taka cut a while ago, and they sat out in the sun. Some of them were taka dried up. So we try to get a lulav that's not white on top, according to that Vilna Goin. Now, sometimes you have on the tippy top, not white, which is what the poskim might call dry, but sometimes it gets a little brown on top. Not the brown kara, the brown stuff that we'll talk about soon, but the actual lulav itself sometimes gets a drop of a sunburnt, because it was out in the sun, and this is something, it was a shayla in the poskim, if that's called yavish b'chlal. Again, even if it is yavish, it's not so simple that it's pasal. Only that Vilna Goin says that it's pasal, yavish on the very top. But if we aren't going to worry about that, so is the brown called yavish or not? The Chazinish said it's not a problem, that's not called yavish. Yavish, the poskim say, is white. If it's a little brown, sunburnt on top, that's not called yavish. However, the briskerov was machmir, that the brown on top of the lulav, that also, since it came from the choym hashemesh, from the heat of the sun, that is also called yavish, and therefore when people sell in the shuk and they call it a brisker lulav, but they mean a brisker lulav, it doesn't mean the lulav has pays. But it means that brisker lulav, it means that it's green all the way up to the top, and it doesn't have any brown on top of it. The fact that it's green all the way to the top and is not white on top, that's not dafka brisker lulav. That's a Vilna Goin lulav. That's a lulav that's not yavish on the tippy top. That you need even if you're not going to be machmer like the brisker rov. The chiddush of the brisker rov was that even if it's not white on top, it's only brownish on top, that also is not might come into the category of yavesh, and therefore you should try to find a lulav that's perfectly green all the way to the top. But again, this is a chumrah al gabei chumrah. The Vilna Gaon himself is a chumrah, and the way the Brisker Rav is saying it, that the brown is also a problem. That's a chumrah al gabei chumrah. So if you have a chash of niktam on one lulav, and then you have a little brown on another lulav, for sure go with the brown. You don't want to have a shaila of a psul l'chol adeis at the expense of this chumrah of the Brisker Rav. Okay, so that's the din l'gabei yavesh. Now, one or two last things is like this. On the top of the lulav, there's sometimes something that looks a little like a fishing hook. It comes to like a hook on top. It's called a kneppel in Yiddish. A kneppel is a hook. It looks like a fishing hook. What's the din with that? Some people like lulavim like that. Some people don't like lulavim like that. So what's the halacha about a lulav with a kneppel? No, so if in the middle of the lulav it goes off, so that's called akum doimel magal. That was the psul before, right? But on top, what you're saying, sometimes it's hooked and sometimes it's like straight. Yeah. So that often comes from the fact that the lulav was shaped in a funny way and was hooked. And the shaila is, what's the halacha by that? So now there is a braisa that says in sukkah daf lamed aleph that kafuf is pasul. If the lulav is bent, it's pasul. But there's a big shaila what that kafuf means. The ritva says that even if, and the Ran, that even if just the top leaves are bent like this kneppel lulav, that's the psul of the braisa called kafuf. However, the Rosh says, no, that's not a problem of kafuf. The problem of kafuf is only when the shedra itself is bent, but if the leaves are bent on top, so then that's not a problem of kafuf. Not only that, but the Rosh said, adarab, I prefer the lulav with the kneppel. Not only is it not possible, but I prefer it. Why? Because sometimes, as we said before, the top of the lulav, the tiyomis, is very vulnerable. It can get niktam very easily. It could get yavesh very easily. It could be nechlak. When it's hooked in like that, it's usually tucked in and very protected, so you have no problems. It's usually the most beautiful tiyomis, is the one that's hooked in. And therefore, the Rosh used to prefer it, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch like the Rosh, that it's kosher. It's not a problem. The Mishnah Berurah says, Minig Olam is lahakal. You could get a lulav like that. And not only can you, but the Rosh used to prefer it. However, many poskim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden among them, say that even though the minig is lahakal that you can take a lulav with a kneppel, it's not the most recommended lulav. Because according to some rishonim, it's pasul, because that's the kafuf of the braisa. So even though according to the Rosh it's kosher, and not only that, the Rosh himself who held it was kosher, he preferred it, but you're getting involved in a lulav that according to some rishonim, it might be pasul. It might be the psul of kafuf. So therefore, if you have a lulav that's kosher l'chaladeis, and it's not niktam, it's not nechlika, and here you have a lulav that might seem a little more mahudr because it's tucked in, but according to some, it's possible of kafuf. They say that you should stay away from such a lulav. So again, the Mishnah Berurah says the minig is lahakel, and therefore many people get kneppel. I know chashav people who like to get a lulav like that. However, lani is daiti, it's not the most recommended lulav, because since it's a problem, according to some rishonim and poskim of kafuf, so why get involved with that? You might as well get a lulav that's kosher l'kuliyam. Again, if someone has an atiyah that he likes such a lulav, the Mishnah Berurah does say haminig lahakel, so you could rely on that and get a lulav with a kneppel. Okay, the last din, lagabi, the looking at the tiyomis, is all that brown stuff that you see when you're looking at a lulav. It's called the kara in Eretz Yisrael, at least that's what it's called. The kara, that, all that brown stuff, you could flick off most of it with your thumbnail, but again, you should know what you're doing. But what is the problem with all that brown stuff? Most of it comes off, like I said. But sometimes on the tippy top, even after you try to flick it off, you can't get off some of the kara. It's mamish closed up very thickly with that brown stuff. So what's the halacha? Some people felt it will be gevaldik because it's held so perfectly together. It's not nechlak, it's not anything. The brown stuff is mamish holding it together. However, most poskim say that a lulav like this is not recommended. Why is that? Because underneath the kara, underneath the brown stuff, there could be a lot going on there. It could be mamish nistakehemnik inside there. And the fact that the brown stuff is not part of the chefs of the lulav, that's something that's growing on the lulav. But if it's nechlika hatiyomis or nistakehemnik or niktam in there and the kara just covered over that, then you'll never know till after yontif or until you get rid of this lulav what's going on inside of it. Many times the lulav that has a kara, people like to keep it on, and the poskim before yontif, when they check the lulav, they'll flick it off to see what's going on inside, and inside you have the tops of the tiyomis that looks like this. It's mamish nistakehemnik l'chol adeis, and the lulav will be possible. Therefore, even though the kara seems to be holding it close together, as much as possible you try to take off the kara and to get a lulav that at least the tippy top is very clear and visible to make sure that you know what's doing on top. In addition to that, there's a din in the actual shaking of the lulav. The Ramah says that the way it's supposed to shake the lulav on Sukkot is with kiskus ha'alim, which means the leaves that should shake shouldn't get carried away again, but the leaves should shake, they should make like a ruffling of the leaves. Kiskus ha'alim, that's why the Rama says he's supposed to shake. And the lulavim that are very close with the kara, when you shake it, it's like shaking a stick. There's nothing there to it. So to get the Ramaz Nanuim of Kiskus Island, it's better to get a lulav that has a little bit of life to it with the leaves. Again, the leaves should be hugging the shedra, but they should be all separated. They shouldn't be all held together with the kara. So again, the lulav with the kara, it might have its advantages, but it's probably Yatsa Sfarah Be'afsedai, so it's better to get a lulav that doesn't have the kara holding it together. Okay, let's summarize all the dinim we had here by lulav, and then we'll end with a great story. And I'm serious. We have a story about a lulav. Okay, lagabi the tzura of the lulav. The basic thing we have in the tzura of the lulav is the size of the lulav. The minimum is 16 inches. As you said, 40 centimeters, that's the shear of 4 tfachim. And the 16 inches, very important, is a shear in the shedra, in the backbone of the lulav. It's better if you don't include the bottom part where the leaves don't start, but that's a chumrah. But it's very important that you don't include the top part where the shedra is finished, because the shear is shedra shalulav is arba tfachim. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it should be straight. It's only possible if it's doima lamagel, the curvature of the sickle. However, if Sadi going says yeah, yasha loy meukam klal, it's better that it's totally straight and not curved at all. And the third thing about the tzur of the lulav is elachatchilad, it should not be nifredu ha'alan. The leaves shouldn't be going out to the sides. They should be hugging the lulav tightly as much as possible. Then lagabi the tiyamis, we said a number of important points. The first point is that by the tiyamis it should not be nikdam, it should come to a point and not have a chash that it's cut off. The second thing we said is that the two parts of the tiyamis of the middle leaf should not be split. If it's split most of the way down to the shedra, it's a psul of nechlaka atiyoimis. And even if it's not so far down, but if the angle of it is kehimnik, which is pasua harbe, then even a mashu is a problem. And if it's not at that angle, so it's still not a mitzvah min amufchar, you should get it where it's not split pechlal. But as we said, that's only mitzvah min amufchar. That's not pasul, as long as it's not kehimnik. And also then the glue trick will work. You can put glue together to make sure that it doesn't extend over yantif. The third thing we said, lagabi the tiyoimis, is the Vilna Goin, which is that it shouldn't be yavish on top, it shouldn't be white on top, with the Hoysafas Chumra of the Briskerov, that it shouldn't even be brown on top. You should try to get a lulav that's green all the way up to the top, if possible. But again, the whole din of the Vilna Goin is a Chumra. If it's a drop white, it's probably Nishkeferlich, according to most of the Rishonim and Poiskim. And surely if it's brown, you have even more people to be Saimichon. But the best thing is if it could be green all the way up to the top. The fourth thing we said is about the Knepel. The Rush preferred the hook, but and the Mishnah Berurah says minig lahakel, but others said that it's not so highly recommended because it might be the psul of kafuf. And the final thing we said is this kara, which also the Paiskim said is not so recommended when the kara is covering it, because first of all, like you said, you don't have the kiskus ha'alan when you're shaking it, and also inside the kara it could be a problem of nistakehimnik, and you'll never know it because you're not able to see what's going on inside. Now, what's the story that I wanted to tell you about a lulav? Something very, very important. About 100 years ago, they brought over the column, date trees, to Eretz Yisrael from the Canary Islands. The Canary Islands are islands on the top of Africa, northwest Africa, and the Canary Islands produced very nice lulavim, and they brought over some of the column to Eretz Yisrael, and they planted very nice lulavim. In 1957, came a big shaila to a lot of the poiskim, whether the lulav ha-canary, this is how they call it in their tshuvas, that the canary lulavim, is that kosher for shaking a lulav and esu? Does it have the regular din of a lulav? It seems to be not just a different type of dekel, but it might be a different min and dansin. The fruits look different, the stump of the tree is different, the leaves are different. It might be a different min b'chlal. It could be, it was very similar to lulavim that the Torah is talking about, but it might actually be a different min. And Ritzi Pesach Frank has tshuvas about it, and Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, a lot of poiskim wrote tshuvas about it. The consensus of most of the poiskim, Rav Moshe and Rav Eliashiv among them, is that they said such a thing cannot be considered the min of a lulav. It's considered a different min that's similar to lulav. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said whoever makes a bracha on a canary lulav of a yontif is making a bracha of atala, and whoever sells them is over lifnei iver. It's mamish like shaking a lemon instead of an esrog. And worse, he brings in his tshuva Sigris Moshe that there was one kadmoin who held that you could take a lemon if there's no esrogim around. He said even according to him you can't take this because this is mamish no shaychas to a lulav. It's a different min. It's not the same min as a lulav. How is this negeh to us? We're not going to buy canary lulav. The answer is, you don't know when you're buying a lulav if you're buying a canary lulav. Some lulavim According to many people, about 50% of the lulavim that are sold in the shuk in Eretz Yisrael are canary lulavim. Yerichai is the Eirat Tamarim. Lulavim that come from Yerichai is definitely not canary lulavim. That's the Eirat Tamarim. But the ones that come from the Moshavim and other places, many of them, I have an uncle in Ashdod who has a lulav tree in his backyard, and it's a canary lulav tree. He doesn't have to make lulavim from it any year because you could tell it's a canary lulav. Therefore, when you buy a lulav, you have to make sure that it's not a canary lulav, it's a regular lulav. How do we know this? They sent them to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael they sent them to America. How do you know when you're buying a lulav that it's not a canary lulav? So the Paiskim these days told us a very simple trick, and this is something that you have to try out when you buy a lulav, just to ensure the fact that it's not a canary lulav. Said the shedra, the backbone of a canary lulav, is very, very weak. It's very weak. When you hold a lulav straight out, which you're going to do anyway to make sure it's yasher, loy ma'ukum klal, can hold it straight out like a pool stick. So when you hold it at one point with the shedra on the bottom. What happens when the shedra is on the bottom? All the weight of the lulav is leaning on the shedra. It bends a little bit down. The shedra of a canary lulav is so weak that if you would hold it upside down with the shedra down, the whole thing will mamish rainbow. It'll mamish rainbow that the whole shedra will come down and all the leaves will fly up like in that angle. And you could tell the shedra like is having very difficulty holding up the leaves. Most lulavim, it's not like that. Most lulavim, when you hold them upside down, the shedra will dip down a little, maybe an inch, 2 inches, but it won't totally rainbow. So if you have a lulav and you're looking at it, you don't have to start fighting with the guy. You're selling canary lulavim. You just put it down and pick up the next lulav because you probably got lulavim from all different places. But you should check when you're buying a lulav that the shedra is not so weak that it could fall into the category of a safek of a canary lulav, and therefore you know that, again, even though you don't need hechsherim on a lulav, you don't have to worry that lulavim are mukavim, but this is where the shaila of the identity of a lulav is negeh lemaisa. You have to make sure that the lulav is taka, a regular kapas tmarim, and not a canary lulav. So in addition to all the dinim lagabi, the tzura of the lulav, and lagabi looking at the teyoymes, you make sure your lulav is not a canary lulav, like this you'll be yitza, the kuliyam. Okay, stop it.